This is All of It on WNYC. I'm David First in for Allison Stewart, who is on medical leave. A reminder, our March Get Lit with All of It book club is happening in exactly 1 week. We are reading Anita De Monte Laughs Last by Xochitl Gonzalez. The novel tells the story of two women, a once famous artist named Anita De Monte, who died tragically and has been mostly forgotten, and Raquel, the student who decides to research Anita for her senior thesis. But the deeper Raquel digs, the more she starts to wonder if her own story is starting to mirror Anita's. New Yorkers can download a free ebook copy thanks to our partners at the New York Public Library and join us in person on Thursday, March 28th at 6 p.m. at the New York Public Library branch on 5th Avenue and 40th Street for a conversation with Xochitl. Tickets are free, but they are going fast and must be reserved in advance. For more information, you can just head to wnyc.org/getlit. And happy reading. That's in the future. Now let's get this hour started. Who doesn't love snacking? Well, according to cookbook author Anna Francese Goss, Italians do snacks like no one else. In fact, there are four different designated snacking times throughout the day. In her new cookbook, Italian Snacking, Sweet and Savory Recipes for Every Hour of the Day, Anna takes readers on a culinary journey around the country. She has recipes for arancini, biscotti, cakes, crackers, focaccia, and of course, pizza. Anna will be speaking and signing books tonight at the Barnes & Noble in Union Square in conversation with Rachel Ray. Tickets for that event are on sale now. But first, she joins us to discuss how snacking like an Italian, how we can snack like an Italian as part of our weekly series, Food for Thought. Anna, welcome to All of It.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we would love to hear from you. Do you have questions about nailing the perfect panna cotta or how to make great pizza dough or just how to snack like an Italian? If you want to weigh in with your own favorite Italian snack or just want to get some tips, our phone lines are open. 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. But Anna, thank you so much for being here. And just tell us, what role do snacks play in Italian culture?
So Italian snacks are a very big part of the culture. They're really, for lack of a better term, very baked in. And the reason that they're so baked in is because there's definitely a lifestyle choice in Italy, and I think in Europe as a whole, that eating is kind of a part of your day that has to have focus and concentration. It's not an afterthought. When you think about a snack here in the United States, it's a bag of chips, it's a walk to this vending machine, and that's just not heard of there. And, you know, no judgment, but my mission is...
I'm hiding my bag of chips under the table right now.
Well, no, that's part of your lunch, so that's okay. And no judgment. I always live in a no-judgment zone. I say there's no food police, so absolutely enjoy those chips. I am a big fan of potato chips. But what I will say is I think that intentional eating is really important. And I think that's kind of my mission statement with this book. And what you'll find in Italy is that in the morning, you know, you get up and you have your espresso or your cappuccino and you have your. But then around 10 o'clock, and you'll know this if you try to buy a ticket or go to the bank at 10 o'clock in the morning in Italy, there's not a lot of people around working. And that's because there is a little break in the day. You know, sputino di metà mattina, a little bite in the middle of the morning is how it translates. And that is really when you're going to take a stop and you're going to have another coffee to keep you going to lunch, and you're going to have something to eat with it. Just something small. It doesn't have to be anything too fancy, whether it's a biscotti, whether it's a little pizzette. They have all kinds of things at the bar. And if you've been to Italy, you know the bar is not what we call the bar. It's a coffee shop with pastry and sandwiches and espresso and cappuccino. So you're going to take a little stop at the bar, you're going to meet up with a friend or a colleague, and you're going to have that little mid-morning snack, and that's going to energize you till lunch.
So you outline the four different snacking categories that Italians participate in throughout the day, and I feel like looking at the photos in the book that we need to maybe add a fifth, but okay. Let's not get greedy. But break it down. What are the four categories.
Okay, so the one I just mentioned is Spuntino di Metà Mattina, which is, I know it's a big mouthful.
I'm going to let you say that.
Yeah, exactly. Say that to five times fast. Yeah, so that is your mid-morning snack. And spuntino in Italian translates to little bite. So that's what that is. Then, of course, you're going to have your lunch. But then in the afternoon, there's two more stops on this food train. The first one is called merenda. And this is something that you'll find all over Europe by different names and also in lots of Latin American countries. And it is the after-school snack for kids. It is part of the tradition. You come home from school and your nonna has a little piece of cake for you, maybe from the what was left over from last night's dinner, some cookies. They even consider a gelato an afternoon snack, a sorbet, and something like that, a little sorbetto. And what I love about the word, it comes from the Latin merere, and it means to deserve. So think about this. You went to school, did your math, you listened to the teacher, you come home, you wipe your brow, your nonna takes your book bag and lets you sit down because you deserve this snack. And I just kind of love that, you know, that it's something that as you're walking home from school that you're thinking about. And then I have something else, of course, that I wanted to bring up in the book, which is what we could call adult merenda, which is antipasto hour. And that's something that we've really embraced here in this country. What's different here is you'll notice if you go to Italy, and people are always wowed by this, when you do go out for an aperitivo, you're never just given the aperitivo. They always come out with three or four bowls of what? Snacks. Because Italians don't drink without a little bite of food for a couple reasons. One, there's not really a mentality to drink or overdrink. And food and wine or food and cocktails are meant to be met paired. So of course, if you're out, you know, they're going to, and everyone's like, I went to Italy and I ordered a drink and I got all this free food. I'm like, yeah, that's just part of the culture. You're going to have some snacks given to you when you're having something to drink.
Well, if you would like to weigh in with a favorite Italian snack, our phone lines are open. Give us a call if you would like to join the conversation, 212-433-9692. Maybe you want to get some tips for how to make some of these items, 212-433-9692. Let's start with one of your recipes, one of the mid-morning snacks. I'm not going to say that in Italian.
That's okay.
Your first recipe is for pizza ambrica. Am I saying that right? This is kind of a fruit cake biscuit that you write is based on Roman Jewish heritage?
Yes. It's called pizza ambrica, and it comes from Rome. The book is broken up by time of day, but each snack is representative of different regions. I really wanted to get all 20 regions represented here and just show how people snack based on where you are in Italy. This is something that you're only going to find in Rome, because if you've been to Rome, you know that there is the Hebrew quarters of Rome. And in this area, you still have Jewish bakeries and Jewish restaurants, and it's some of the best food in Rome. And there is this one bakery in Rome called Il Boccone. It's run by old Jewish women, and they run out of everything by noon, so you got to get there early, and you will be waiting in line. But one of their most famous snacks is what this basically translates to is Hebrew pizza.
Huh.
Yeah, but it's not pizza. It is really just a flavorful – I always say it's what fruitcake should be. It is a fruity biscuit. It's actually charred on the edges because they make it in their bread oven, but it's phenomenal. It's very, very good.
That sounds really good. I know it's after lunchtime, but I'm getting hungry again hearing about some of these things. I know a lot of us love a good biscotti with our coffee or tea. Let's talk about biscotti. You have recipes for a few different kinds in the book.
Yes. So another thing that I've noticed when I go to Italy, and I don't know if other people do, but when I go to Italy, I love to go to the grocery store because I love to look around. And what you will not find in Italy is a cereal aisle. Okay, you go to any American grocery store, you're going to have a cereal aisle. Well, in Italy, they don't have a cereal aisle because Italians don't eat cereal in the morning. They eat biscotti. So there is a whole aisle in every single supermarket that is dedicated to cookies. Now you're like, oh, this is crazy. How are you eating cookies in the morning?
That doesn't sound crazy at all.
But Italian cookies are not very sweet. They're more like tea biscuits. I mean, some of them will have a little chocolate, but you'll even find the recipes in this book are not overly sweet. Italians do not really use frosting. Things are not overly sensationalized with sugar. It's really more an emphasis on good chocolate, lemon zest, almond extract, other ways to emphasize and encourage those sweet notes without overpowering you with sugar.
Mm. If you would like to join the conversation, we're going to get to your calls in just a moment here. The number 212-433-9692. Let's hear from Mary Ann calling from Manhattan. Welcome to All of It.
Hi. I enjoy the show very much. I got a book many, many years ago called The Beautiful Italy Cookbook, and it was basically for people who didn't – I mean, I like to cook, but I'm not great. But anyway, it's gorgeous photographs. And they had this anchovy bread recipe, and you take a good baguette, slice it, not all the way through so it stays together, slices of mozzarella in between, you toast that so the cheese melts, and then you make anchovy butter, which is just a stick of unsalted butter with a jar of, you know, pureed anchovies mixed together. And you drizzle that over it, and it's always a huge hit, and it's so delicious.
That's a pretty delicious snack, if you ask me. And it's simple, which is exactly what you're saying. Now, yes, it's not a bag of chips. It's not a granola bar that you just have to take off the wrapper. But like you said, like, you're not, you know, this classically trained chef, and you can put this together in not too much time, and it's delicious. And it's better for you than anything you're going to get in the vending machine, no?
If you want to join the conversation, 212-433-9692. I want to ask you this. I'm going to be putting my really bad Italian to the test here. But tell us about rustico lecese, or puff pastry pizza pockets. Is that a good way to describe them?
100%. Rustico lecese. You did a good job.
Okay, it was close.
And this is exactly to my point. My kids love these, and they are a homemade pizza pocket. I don't know if you grew, depending on where you grew up, but I loved a good Hot Pocket growing up.
I was going to say, this sounds like probably a really, really good Hot Pocket.
Exactly. No microwave, you know, no shiny paper. This is the real deal. And all you need is puff pastry, which, as you know, you can get really good puff pastry in the grocery store. Tomato sauce. I give you my recipe, but get some jarred sauce if you're in a rush, shredded mozzarella, a little dried oregano, and you basically just take one piece of puff, you put the sauce, the cheese, the oregano, you put another piece on top, cut them into little pockets, little sandwiches, and you bake them off. And in 20 minutes, you have the most delicious Hot Pocket.
Mm. That sounds fantastic. We are speaking with cookbook author Anna Francese Goss. The new book is called Italian Snacking, Sweet and Savory Recipes for Every Hour of the Day. We're going to hear more in just a moment and get to more of your phone calls. If you'd like to join the conversation, again, the number 212-433-9692. This is All of It on WNYC. It's All of It on WNYC. I'm David First. We're speaking with cookbook author Anna Francese Goss about her brand new book, Italian Snacking, Sweet and Savory Recipes for Every Hour of the Day. And we're also taking your phone calls. Join the conversation, 212-433-9692. And let's hear from Siobhan calling from New Jersey. Welcome to All of It.
Hi, thank you so much. And hello, Anna Francese.
Hello, hello.
Ciao. Hi. I spent time in Sardinia learning Italian, and they have a delicious kind of cookie snack crossed between like a fruitcake and a biscotto. It's called papasini or papasino, and it has raisins in it and lemon zest, like you mentioned, not super sweet, but definitely those natural flavors. And it's like a biscotto, but it's got a lot of nice like fruit in it.
Oh,
and I just fell in love with them.
Oh my gosh, I'm writing that down. I actually did not discover that one. I spent some time in Sardinia. I loved it there, and I do have a number of recipes in the book from my time there. You probably saw when you were there their love for amaretti cookies. So I had to make that. And I have another recipe from Sardinia called a panada. And there was a lot of Spanish influence in Sardinia. And it's like an empanada, but Italianized. And that's the other thing that I really got into in this book is how each region has incredibly different snacks. And a lot of it has to do, obviously, with climate, topography, availability of ingredients, but also border influence. And I know it's a peninsula, but if you're way up north, you're going to be eating a lot of fondue. And if you're way down south, you're going to be eating rice balls. So whether you're getting that French, Germanic, Austrian influence, or you're getting the Arab, Muslim influence, or if you're on the sides, you're getting some Spanish influence. And that fascinates me. And I love that about Italy.
We're going to get to some more of your phone calls, and I have to read this text to you, Anna. Someone texting, in Rome, we had the simplest little triangle-cut ham and cheese sandwiches on white bread and no crust with an Aperol spritz and an olive. OMG. I'm thinking that's a positive. Do you have some suggestions, some recipes for Italian tea sandwiches?
I sure do. They're in the book, and they're called tramezzini, which just means little sandwiches, and it's exactly that. It is white bread, very soft, no crust, and inside they have all different kinds of fillings, whether you're having a little ham and cheese. In Italy, ham is called prosciutto cotto. Or maybe you're having a little caponata, and you had that in Rome, but it actually originates from Venice, where if you go to Venice, you can have tea sandwiches anytime you want. But in my book, I have the recipe for that and all the different suggestions as far as great pairings for your tramezzini. So you should have a tramezzini party.
While we're on the subject of small portions, let's hear from Nicole in Pelham. Welcome to All of It. Do you have a question or a suggestion?
Oh, hi. How are you? I'm excited to be on.
It's good to have you.
I just wanted to say that one of the main things that's different in Italy than here is that if they give you a snack, it is a snack size. If you have a primi piatti, it's a small plate of pasta. If you go someplace for something small, it's small. Here in the United States, I think we appreciate volume more and everything is bigger. But there, everything is petite.
I agree. And to your point, what I would say is it's quality over quantity, right? Yeah, you can give me a huge plate of pasta, but is it really tasty? In Italy, the bites are definitely smaller, especially if you go out to eat. I think this is something that Americans have to get used to. You're not going to just order a plate of pasta because that's your primo. That's your first course. They're going to expect you to also order a secondo, which is your meat. You probably had an antipasto when you sat down, and they're going to want you to have dessert. But it's all going to be kind of paced out very beautifully. Each bite is going to be on a smaller side, but you're going to leave very full and very happy.
Since it's the afternoon, can we talk a little bit about afternoon treats? This section contains a lot of beautiful cakes in your book.
Yes. So, you know, the afternoon treats, the reason that there's a lot of snacking cakes is because of the merenda. What I found kind of historically was, you know, a grandmother or a mother would have dinner at night. And obviously after dinner, she would serve a little tea cake or, you know, some sort of torta della nonna. And then, obviously, at the end of the evening, there's some left over. So then when the kids get home from school the next day, well, what do? You slice up a piece of that cake from last night. They've been looking forward to it all day. And they get their little cake at the end of the day that they deserve.
Let's have another phone call. Diego calling from Williamsburg. Welcome to All of It.
Hi, this is Diego. Hello.
Hi, Diego.
Hello. Did you want to give a shout out to some of the dishes that you know?
Oh, yes. I actually wanted to say that I was born in Trieste, and so I have a very strong tradition of Austrian-Hungarian food. In particular, a sweet memory of my grandmother making for me and my brother buzzolai, which were some cookies that we would actually dip in wine, of course, previous adult age, as usual, as we do in Italy, or the putizza, which is a cake that my grandmother would bake during wintertime and especially under Christmas. I also wanted to mention that, for example, my hometown Trieste has a famous gelateria that has been mentioned in the 70s by a critic, a food critic that came to Europe to taste different gelatos, and he mentioned it in the New York Times as one of the finest gelaterias found in Italy, and the name is Zampolli. And that also brings me a lot of memories because I used to study at the Conservatory of Music near this location, and so it was very tempting to go get ice cream almost every day there. And one last thing that I wanted to mention is talking about Rome, I have a very fond memory of this place that I discovered with a friend many, many years ago in the 90s. It's a hole in the wall in Via del Governo Vecchio, close to one of the major squares, where they sell pizza bianca, which is basically you go in, you order a size of pizza, which is two slices, certainly slightly baked, and then you can fill them in with whatever fillings you want, prosciutto, funghi, carciofi, anything that pleases your palate.
Well, Anna Diego has a whole shopping list here for us.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. I've had bussolai. I had them in Venice, which, as you know, has a lot of the shared recipes. But yes, I mean, it's just there's just so many good things. There's so many beautiful dishes. And I do always love hearing these stories because it always starts with, well, my nonna used to make me this and my nonna made me that. And I loved when I went to Italy just talking to locals and saying, okay, well, what is the snack food that you really remember as a child? Because, and I think Diego will agree, you know, merenda is very important to little kids, you know, and that's kind of when they're getting that TLC from their nonna or their mother. And I just really love that. I really love that it's always kind of something made with care, even if it's a little panino di mortadella, whatever it is. Food is love. So any way you can show people that, I think, is nice.
Food is love. That's great. Let's hear another call. This is Juliet from Newark, New Jersey. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. And I am so appreciative for what I'm hearing because I once lived in Brooklyn and I used to go to the Italian neighborhood to get all the baked cookies. And my favorite thing, I will make a big pot of pasta with Italian sausage. And my kids enjoyed it. And one of the things that I always did, because I was a working mom, I always made a snack and leave it for them. So when they came home from school in the evening, they always had something to eat before dinner. And I could identify one of my favorite dishes when I go to an Italian restaurant was the baked salmon with sauteed shrimp. So when it come on the line of Italian food, I ate it, I cooked it, and my children enjoyed it.
Aw, thank you so much for your call. Yes. Well, you're not going to get any arguments from me. I definitely think Italian food is phenomenal. You're definitely a wonderful mama that your kids would come home to a nice merenda that you left for them. But yeah, I mean, we all enjoy different types of food, but I do feel very fortunate that I come from the land of the boot where food is very, very good.
Well, Anna, we're getting a lot of phone calls and questions. One question from Melissa in Brooklyn. Do you have any recipes with fig and goat cheese? Had a flatbread once. It was phenomenal. And maybe I'll just ask you this, you know, do we have any happy hour snacks we can get to?
Yes, yes. So in the okay, so first I'll get to Melissa's question. So in the book, I have a recipe for piadina, which is the Italian flatbread. It comes together very easily. It's a simple dough. And then you just roll it out and fry it in a pan. And it's kind of like, I would say, the Italian version of like naan bread or pita bread if you're, you know, thinking Greek food. And it's really easy. And what if you're in Bologna or really anywhere in Emilia Romagna, which is where it's from, it's called piadina romagnola. You can get it there and they fill it with whatever you want. The most traditional is mortadella, which is having a moment right now, the New York Times has reported, which is Italian bologna, let's be honest. But mortadella with ricotta and a little bit of pistachio, and that is my favorite. But I could totally see that piadina, nice and warm off the skillet with some goat cheese and some figs. Yum. Now, to David's question about the aperitivi. Now, when you're having aperitivi, you have to have something salt or sweet or crunchy, like something that's really going to play off that alcohol that you're drinking. So I have two recipes for taralli, which is Italian pretzels. They'll always put these out at the bar. I have a recipe for a black olive pate ones, which I also have a recipe for black olive pate, but you can take it and put it in these taralli, and they have a nice little olive bite to them. And then I have spicy ones, a little red pepper in them. They're a little pink, and they're just great with a nice, robust glass of wine. And then another favorite from this time of day is the fried olives. Stay with me. They're called olive dall'Ascolana. They're from Le Marche, which is right outside of Tuscany. Sorry, right outside of Florence in Tuscany. And these little olive babies are filled with ground pork, breaded and fried.
That's a lot of work.
It is, but, and thanks to my tester, after she made them, she froze them, popped them in the air fryer, and they came out amazing. So you can make these in advance, and then when you have people coming over, you can wow the crowd. And I will tell you, if you know Florence Fabricant from the New York Times, she made a list of the five foods you should eat before you die. These olives are on that list.
Oh boy, that's a good one to make sure we get in here. Can you say the name of it one more time?
Yes. Olive dall'Ascolana, because they're from Ascolana, which is an area.
Olive dall'Ascolana.
Yes, okay. You're an Italian. By the end of this session, you are going to be an honorary Italian.
Well, Anna, you're going to be speaking and signing books tonight at the Barnes & Noble in Union Square, right? In conversation with Rachel Ray?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to have so much fun. Rachel is also Italian. She is such an Italophile. She's got a home in Tuscany. We're going to be talking all things Italian. You have a chance to meet her. She's the one and only. And yeah, I'll be there too.
Tickets for that event are on sale right now. And all of the recipes you talked about today are all in your new book, right?
They sure are.
We've been speaking with cookbook author Anna Francese Goss. The new cookbook is Italian Snacking, sweet and savory recipes for every hour of the day. And we are all hungry now. Anna, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.